The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
Brought to you by Standard Life. Retirement specialists getting you ready for your second life.
But what's been happening across culture, media, entertainment, music, etc., concerts, all the sort of nice stuff that we really like to do, particularly over the summer months. And joining me here in studio to looking at the entertainment high notes or low notes of 2025, I'm joined and delighted to be joined by Melanie Finn, who is, of course, entertainment correspondent with the Irish Independent, to revisit all the glitz and glamour of the year just going out. Melanie, you're very welcome.
Thanks a million.
It's great to have you along. You were very popular arriving into studio this morning because you're giving us all a lift. Because there's a lot of other stuff between.
I'm here to bring the light.
Yeah, between Ukraine and Gaza, it's tough stuff, right? It's tough stuff. Okay, let's tuck in straight away. So we were looking at some feel good stories. We kick off, I suppose, where we probably kicked off the previous year and the year before that with Taylor Swift, who got engaged, and this was the most viral engagement anyone has ever seen. It just took off like a rocket straight away.
Yeah, it was complete opposite of a low key engagement, and we're going to keep the news private. So pop princess Taylor Swift, she got engaged to Travis Kelce and promptly broke the internet. She revealed the happy news in August 2025 with this gorgeous pic and the words, "Your English teacher and your gym teacher are getting married." Instantly went viral, clocked up over 37 million views and counting. She is, of course, the highest grossing live music artist of all time. She is the richest female artist. She amassed about 1.6 5 billion in 2024. And she's obviously delighted now that her personal life is going so well. And I think, you know, lover or hater, you can't deny the fact that she is unbelievably talented and hardworking and a grafter. So I think it's lovely to see someone who has such huge personal success, professional success, also have a bit of personal
success.
So
would you, in terms of female artists at the moment, would you put her, just in terms of this sort of impact and the aura and all the stuff around them, ahead of Beyonce by a good bit, or are they still...
I feel like you're a Beyonce fan.
I am.
You're giving team Beyonce.
But I just think that the two of them are ahead of everyone else.
Well, she is the... Beyonce was, of course, the first black artist to score number one in the country music charts in America, which is a huge achievement. I love her. I've seen them both live. I love Tay Tay. But as of now, I think there's absolutely no stopping Taylor Swift. She is a cultural phenomenon. You know, she released, I think it was her 14th studio album this year in October, like shortly after engagement. And there just seems to be no stopping that juggernaut.
Yeah, because when she did all the concerts and the world tour, people had the temerity to say, oh, well, once the tour is over, she'll sort of slightly fall away. But that just hasn't happened.
Yeah, and there was this really kind of patronising idea after she got engaged that she's somehow going to lose her edge, because a lot of the material would have been autobiographical, you know, about her sad breakups over the years that gave us acres of headlines, of course, you know, and now she's all happy. There's going to be less pathos or something in her songs. I think that's a very misogynistic idea to take about a female artist, because you would never say the same thing about a male artist, judge his work and his material based on his personal life. I think she's amazingly talented. She's going to keep going regardless.
Let's talk about Oasis. Certainly here in Dublin and wider across the country, it just seemed to dominate. I mean, it's from my era, but I did have a slight problematic relationship with the whole thing, because it was just... so many times it just looked like a pension grab for the two Gallagher brothers, right? And even they played into that by going on social media and kind of going, yeah, so what, you know? But the actual concerts were well received. Music critics liked them. Yes, there was the backlash over the ticket prices, but by the time it was all over, nobody kind of seemed to remember. It was a massive full house, huge demand. People seemed to have this hankering for reunions that just seems no sign of abating.
Oh, absolutely. You know, they just keep going and going. Oasis teased the fact that they were reforming in August of 2024. Massive scramble for tickets. Oasis Live 25. They did, and this is a huge criticism that I would have, they did bring in the whole idea of dynamic ticket pricing. So I remember I was on early morning, and don't forget that the Irish fans were also competing with the UK fans, because they stupidly put them on sale here at the same time over there. So UK fans fans could snap it up, make it a weekend in Dublin at the same time. I think I was, I don't know, number 482,000. Didn't get any tickets. That was fine. So they kicked off their tour in July in Cardiff to rave reviews and the Moody Mancunians. Some nice alliteration there for you. They just kept going. So the curtain came down in Brazil on November 23rd. And question marks hang over 2026 dates. Will they reform? I'm hoping so, because I was in fact stuck in a mobile home in France in August. So did not get to see their Croke Park dates. So I'm hoping that they will.
So you think it's not a one and done? You think they're going to keep this going possibly for another year?
I mean, like you say, yeah, it's kind of their pension plan at this stage, isn't it? Like,
the demand seems to be there.
Why wouldn't you? You know, they have reunited. They have put their differences aside. Their music is still, I think, nearly even more relevant, because it kind of, it leads into a lot of our coming of age ideas around, you know, what was going on in our own personal lives. And then, you know, people of their generation now have kids and they would listen to their parents' Oasis albums. Now, there's a thing to make you feel really old. And then there's a new generation of fans coming up. Like there is, I say young, he's probably late 20s lad in our office in the Irish Independent, and he's absolutely mad about them because he remembers his parents listening to them. So,
yeah, I mean, it doesn't seem to have an end. The relationship between the two brothers is gives it that edit element, doesn't it? You know,
it does.
Let me move on to television, which, you know, we're constantly told terrestrial television is dead. There's no big blockbusters. There's no ones that bring a whole family together. But the Irish Traitors did give RTÉ a massive success. We've seen it happening, of course, in the UK, and now, of course, it's a global franchise. So it did seem to click with people in a major way.
Oh, it did. Kite Entertainment were the ones to uncloak the Irish format, and Darren Smith and his team did an amazing job. It debuted on RTÉ on August 31st. We were instantly hooked, you know, whether it was the father and son duo, Paddy and Andrew, to a Garda being one of the sneakiest traitors ever. Like, people were just hooked. There was memes online. There was huge levels of engagement. And we have that rare thing now, you know, with streaming services that we don't really have anymore, where everyone has to sit down, appointment TV at a certain time and watch it. So it kind of, it was a bit of delayed gratification, and it's such intrigue. Have you seen it? Like, it's just, it's unreal.
Yes, I have.
It airs in 36 different countries and counting. It's originally a Dutch format.
And how many years do you think are in it? I mean, it seems to have quite a lot of life in it.
I've watched, I'd say, maybe 5 or 6 different country versions, and they all work in their really unique way. And I think the reason why it works is because there is something about the country that is featured in the show. So, for example, in Ireland, we had Slane Castle. We had this very Irish traditional wake scene where one of the traitors, the girl from Cork, was murdered in the coffin. It was just jaw-dropping. So I think that's what keeps it fresh, even though it's a format that's been replicated. It feels very local as well.
Now, I want to move. I said at the start of the intro, you wouldn't be talking about Gaza, you wouldn't be talking about Ukraine, and we're going to try and stick to that. But the next group of people, musicians, have sort of been in that water. They've been in controversy. They've been in court in London. They've sold a lot of albums. They've done some huge concerts. That's Kneecap. It's definitely Marmite for a lot of people. People really strongly like them or don't like them at all. Maybe you're somewhere in the middle, Melody. I'm not sure. But the court case in London seemed to put them not just in the music press, but onto the news pages as well, making the phenomenon even bigger.
Yeah, if you want to make a band really, really successful, bring a terrorism charge against them, because it's the absolute, like, polarizing effect it's going to have. You are either going to love them or hate them, but a lot of people in Ireland absolutely rally behind them because they were like, this is ridiculous. And there should be a certain idea behind freedom of expression on stage where it's separate from things like where you can be charged for waving a flag, for example, you know, and saying various things. Now, I'm not even going to get into how I feel personally about what happened. I do think, and I do support the fact that they are celebrating the Irish language and Irish culture, and they're bringing that to a whole new audience. There's been a resurgence in interest in the Irish language and people learning Oscuilge and all the rest. My kids actually like them now. I know my husband's going to kill me, but they have put a few of their songs on Spotify, and I'm like, is there one where you can bleep out the curse words? Because I think I would like that more. But they're like dancing away because they've really catchy songs, and I saw them, I've said, for the first time, Electro Picnic, 60,000 fans. They played on the Saturday. It was that afternoon slot, which can be tricky. And it was absolutely packed. I thought they were kind of a flash in the pan. They're doing this for publicity, etc. They're really good performers. I looked around at one stage and there was people maybe in their 70s down to late teens.
Wolf Tones fans.
Celebrating. Yeah, celebrating their Leaving Cert results. And the whole crowd were getting into it. They were chanting the songs. They were cheering. They're really good performers. And I was kind of like, oh, they actually are good. They do have the goods to back up what happened. And then I watched the 2024 documentary award nominated, and that was really well done. Like, who doesn't like Michael Fassbender? You know, he's a winner with me every time. So yeah, in September, the UK court dismissed a terrorism charge against Liam O'Gohany, aka Mokara, and he ruled the charge was filed improperly and promptly thrown out. And then in a statement after, Liam O'Gohany said it was afterwards, the whole process was never about him, but always about Gaza.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
Brought to you by Standard Life. Retirement specialists getting you ready for your second life.
Let's move a little bit away, but staying a little bit political to some degree. Katy Perry, another massive musical star. She's went into space with a lot of other people, sort of linked up with Jeff Bezos. Now, I mean, I come at this from the politics side, which is that Katy Perry was very much a standard bearer for the Democratic Party. But then, as I said, she's funded by Jeff Bezos, who's a big supporter of Donald Trump, all of that. So I'm not going to get you all into that end of it. But there seems to be quite a negative reaction to her going into space.
I love Katy Perry and her music, but this just gives middle life crisis vibes. I don't know who advised her. It would be a good idea for her and her coterie of gal pals to go to space in April on Blue Origin's New Shepard rocket. This is indeed the company set up by multi-billionaire Jeff Bezos. And she said how she wanted to put the ass into astronaut, but the whole idea backfired disastrously for her. She was brought abruptly down to Earth when she landed back down to Earth with a very bad reaction. You know, at one stage she was seen holding a daisy and allegedly singing Louis Armstrong's, you know, What a Wonderful World. And the whole thing just felt really tone deaf at a time where there's huge global crises going on. You have actual trained astronauts who have worked their whole lives to go into space. And it just, the whole thing, you know, just smacked of rich privilege.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to disagree with you. I mean, I think she's blown a lot of the political credibility she would have had. I mean, people don't remember, she was a very central figure in the 2016 election, so she's certainly lost fans. But is it a kind of, any publicity is good publicity, or you're going, no, not on this occasion for me?
That there's no such thing as any publicity is bad publicity.
This is disproven.
Bad publicity is bad
publicity. Okay, okay. And she's Exhibit A, Katy Perry, disproving that grand, that sort of a convention over many decades.
It came across as a billionaire vanity project. And what about the cost, the environmental aspect of it? You know, the fact that it probably costs maybe $200,000 minimum just to do that. And what did it achieve?
But isn't she hanging out with Justin Trudeau nowadays?
It doesn't get her off the hook. I'm sorry,
Canadian Emma. Prime Minister.
It just doesn't, and I love her music.
Well, let's stick with celebrity couples and breakups. There's been a few of them this year, and they get more and more publicity. We all want to know more. Who did what? Who said what to who? What was the cause of it? So can you run me through over sort of an ignominious roll call of who was breaking up and breaking up with who?
Yeah, bad year for well-known stars going their separate ways, wasn't it? We obviously had Nicole Kidman and Keith Urban parting ways, and she filed for divorce, I think, at the end of August, and they just cited the usual irreconcilable differences. And this was seen as one of the strongest marriages in entertainment because they'd been together for 19 years. He was Kiwi Australian country music sensation. She's the Oscar winning actress we all adore. And it kind of came out of the blue for a lot of people. And I felt really sorry for her because I think in any of those circumstances, like a marriage split, regardless of whether you're famous or not, as hard.
She used to be with Tom Cruise, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, so she's got a bit of a track record in terms of being caught up in these splits, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's tough.
Yeah, it's very unfortunate, yeah. And then obviously in Ireland, we had Patrick Hilty, Paddy, and Kat Deely announcing theirs in July, and they released a statement just to say that they decided to part ways and no third party involved and just appeal for privacy. They obviously have two young kids, James and Milo, who are 9 and 7. And I think that's really sad because he obviously came over here for the Late Late Show gig. I think he's doing a great job. I met him for the Toy Show Review. Really nice fella. And I suppose just for the sake of their kids, they're doing their best. But it must be hard in the public spotlight when that kind of thing happens in your personal life.
No, yeah, it would add an extra wrinkle to the whole thing, which is difficult as it was. However, Liam Neeson and Pamela Anderson, I think they linked up in 2025. I think it was this year, right?
So they met during the Naked Gun series and, you know, they were very cosy in a number of red carpet premieres and sparked a whole are they, aren't they thing, you know, and eventually I think Pamela confirmed that there was a bit of dalliance there. We were all delighted. You know, he obviously had his own very sad experience losing his wife, Natasha, after a skiing incident. Mm-hmm. So tragic. So I'm glad to see him out and about now getting a bit of dating action going on, you know, yeah. Because it must be hard for celebrities.
I don't know why I say this, but you wouldn't put them together, but obviously, would put them together now, right? I mean, I just, you know.
And she's had a real renaissance.
I think he went
out
with Helen Mirren briefly years ago, right? So, yeah, I'm pulling that out of the recesses of my mind. But
she's
had
a real renaissance. You know, she obviously did a number of recent projects that proved she wasn't just the blonde bimbo in Baywatch in the red swimming suit jogging on the beach.
Melanie. Briefly, we lost some people this year. One for me was Robert Redford, but there was a big roll call of some really big stars that went, unfortunately, in 2025.
I mean, yeah, in Ireland alone, we had RTE architect Hugh Wallace, we had fashion designer Paul Costello, and we had someone I knew really well, which is Julian Benson, who was a choreographer, one of the judges on RTE's Dancing with the Stars, and he sadly passed away in April, having been diagnosed with cystic fibrosis as a baby, and he was just a really inspirational man. I was at a ball recently there where they raised thousands of euros for the Julian Benson Foundation. And this is obviously for those who have people, loved ones with cystic fibrosis in hospitals, and it's somewhere for them to stay.
And of course, we should mention Diane Keaton. And now, as of this morning, Bridget Bardot dying at the age of 91. Thank you, Melanie Finn, for all of that. Melanie is, of course, entertainment correspondent, Irish Independent.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.